Last year, we received very good feedback from an interview with the writer Rebecca Jones, who wrote Slow Catastrophes, Living with Drought in Australia. She used diaries, if you recall, from farmers dating back to the 1870s right through to the 1950s, concentrated in the southeast of Australia, to find out how they lived and dealt with drought. It was a different way of studying the history of drought in the region through the eyes of those who lived through it. I've noticed since then there's been a number of books surfacing about our land that likewise used forms of literature to explore a particular region, as well as a growth in histories from an environmental perspective. What also caught my eye was a comment by the eminent historian Tom Griffiths, a guest on this show previously, and director of the Centre for Environmental History at the ANU, who also noted these interesting trends, suggesting they amounted to a welcome new genre in his view. So it got me thinking and acting. And in this month of March, we're going to bring you a special series that I hope explores this fresh set of interests. Each week, we'll bring you a new historian, young, old and in between, canvassing their particular emphasis. But first, in a way to introduce this new series and give it some context, I'm delighted to welcome back Tom Griffiths to Saturday Extra.
Hello, Geraldine.
Look, the last time we spoke, Tom, it was about your fine book, The Art of Time Travel, when you looked at historians and their craft, the craft of historians, you emphasised, and in your view, some of the great scholars who've explored our past, like Judith Wright and Inga Glendinnen and Henry Reynolds. Now you're discerning this new trend. Tell us more, please.
Well, I'm delighted to have a chance to talk about Tony Hughes Dave's book because I do think it's in its just its sheer monumental scholarship, because this is a big book we're talking about, isn't it? And
it
Tony
is.
Dedicated many years of his life to producing this wonderful work. I think it does declare a real new movement, if you like. And what Tony's done is to produce a regional eco-literary history. It's a history that brings together ecology and literature and history in a regional study. And I don't think we have many of those in our literature before. And you mentioned Rebecca Jones' work, Slow Catastrophes, which I also greatly admire. And I think one thing in common between those two, Tony's book and Rebecca's, is that they're both bringing together environmental history and emotional history. And to do that, you have to move across vast scales of time and place. You have to be both intimate and inside human experience, and also step back and see experience within a vast global context and across deep time.
So it's hard.
It's hard to do, and it shows incredible versatility, I think. And so in Tony's book, we're shown all of the intimate worlds of these writers, largely writers of fiction, but not all of them. But he also steps back and sees the creation of the wheat belt as a sudden disappearance, a loss of biodiversity.
Why the emergence of these types of regional histories now, then?
I think it's part of our inevitable, slow and agonising journey towards a sense of belonging in a settler nation. When Europeans first arrived in Australia to stay in the late 18th century, they, of course, encountered a continent which was already a constellation of bioregional cultures, if you like. And to some extent, we're having gradually to learn all of that again, having lost so much Aboriginal knowledge through dispossession. We're now sort of gradually piecing together again a sense of ecology, of bioregionalism, of the history in local places. And I think the literature that we're talking about is responding to that need.
How does it work? Is there one brave soul who takes the plunge and then, if it's proved popular, others follow up? Or is it supervisors allowing people to use poets and say, you know, to give them the respect that would have once been only accorded to a similar historian or something? You know, I'm intrigued by the permission given to people to do this.
Well, I think you mentioned my book kindly, The Art of Time Travel. One of the people I looked at in that book is Eric Rolls, the farmer, poet, historian. And Les Murray celebrated his work as a kind of golden disobedience. So, you know, you don't wait.
It's a lovely phrase.
It's a great phrase. You don't wait for permission. In fact, the best writers, and I think these are the people we're celebrating here, the best writers, in a way, do dangerous things. They go beyond boundaries. They're very courageously interdisciplinary. It's in some ways hard to actually pin down what it is that Tony is doing, which is why I suggested it might be a kind of new genre, because he is, yes, he's doing literary studies, but he's also doing history. He's also about ecological consciousness. It's also a history of a particular place, the Western Australian wheat belt. So it's when you begin to bring all those things together into a new kind of coherence that I think that a new genre begins to take off. And it's not just we have to do more than talk about it, we have to actually do it. And Tony has done it, and he's done it in a magnificent large book. And it's wonderful that our universities can still encourage scholars to produce large books. It's getting harder these days.
Is there any way, finally, that it gives you cause for pause? Could it go awry? Could it end up not having that real rigour that you so favour?
Well, from these examples, no, I don't have those fears at all. And I also have a great trust in the self-correcting dimensions of the disciplines, if you like, of history and literature and politics and so forth. In other words, these books are coming from intense discussions in the disciplines. They come from university seminars, from teaching, from conversations over dinner. You know, one of the great things about working as a scholar and a writer is that you are part of a community and you're always learning from others, and every insight depends upon others. And so that's a very self-correcting as well as inspiring context. But it does, in the end, it takes one person to
step out.
Exactly, and to devote themselves in a dedicated way to a task for more than a decade. And we rely on these individual geniuses.
Look, thank you very much indeed, Tom. I hope that that allows listeners to get a bit of a broader sense of what we're going to present over the weeks of March. So thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Tom Griffiths, and you may have heard him on Big Ideas, a lecture he gave at the Australian Museum on Radical Histories for Uncanny Times. Check it out if you haven't heard it already.